It's graduation season, right? I'm sure many of you have lots of graduation parties to go to. If your child's graduating, it's probably kind of stressful trying to get all the things worked together for that. Or it might be also very sad because, oh no, my beautiful child is, you know, leaving. They're all grown up now. All that fun stuff. Well, that's happening again at my house. My parents, they are, you know, sending off my youngest sister, Abby, as she's graduating high school. It's a very exciting time, for her and for, you know, for my folks. She's the, last of five kids out the door. So it's very exciting. Yes, very good. That was my mom. Okay. So it's graduation season, right? And I remember when I was a graduate, when I was graduating high school, I received lots and lots of graduation cards. It was a very kind gesture from many people who had impacted my life in one way or another. And I received, you know, a wide variety of cards. Some were very funny. Some were just very heart-touching. Some had biblical truths. Some had some jokes. But there's one common theme throughout each and every card, is that they all carried some advice. Some of the advice was true, biblical, wonderful, and wise. Some of the advice, not so much. But it was nice. It was a nice gesture. And that's a lot like life, because we get advice from lots of different people. And lots of different people think they can get wisdom from lots of different ways. You know, the world will tell you can get wisdom from just living life, life experience, from education and from media. But we know as believers, the only way to get true, lasting, biblical wisdom is through Christ alone, through reading his word each and every day. Oftentimes, I hear people tell graduating students that they need to get some life experience. They gotta go out, you know, spread their wings, get out from under mom and dad, and go learn a thing or two about the world. And, you know, that's good to some degree. But I don't think it's the best. You know, I hear a lot that they need to experience the real world. If you're unfamiliar with the term, life experience refers to knowledge, skills, and understanding a person gains by just living each and every day, you know, things that they learn through events and situations in their own life. I feel that there's such a strong push in our culture for students to go out and experience so that they can become wise, get some knowledge and figure out what they want to do with their life. Well, that may be true to some degree. Like I said, I don't feel like it's very good. And that's because life experience, well, you got to go live it to get it. And so it doesn't prepare people beforehand. It doesn't prepare students for the potential pitfalls they might experience. Life experience can certainly help an individual, but it doesn't give them warning or preparation to avoid potential obstacles and pitfalls. Someone who's seeking life experience in order to get wisdom will have to experience a whole lot of life. And what comes with that are trials and pain that probably could have been avoided if they had some biblical wisdom. And trust me, like, I've made many, many embarrassing decisions in my life trying just to get some life experience. So I can tell you that it's just not the best. There's something better. Another popular way that individuals try to often obtain wisdom is by seeking an education. You know, you got to go to college, students, get yourself a diploma. I remember when I was working construction, I was up on a roof and I was just roofing and all that comes with that. And it was a hot day. It was awful. And the guy, Bruce, who was helping me, kind of training me up, he told me, he said, you know, Aaron, do you want to be on this roof with me the rest of your life? Bruce was not a very nice guy. He was a good guy. He's not very soft. And so I was like, no, sir, I do not. Respectfully. And he told me, well, stay in school, get good grades, and get yourself an education so you don't end up like me. And so that can be true, good advice if you don't want to, you know, work as a roofer. But it's not a great way to get wisdom. You see, oftentimes we push students to go sign up at 18, take out a bunch of money, and get some very, very expensive knowledge so that they can set themselves up for success. Because in a job interview, someone will most likely ask you, well, what are your credentials? Are you qualified? What is your experience? You know, a lot of times we think the more diplomas, the more pieces of paper you rack up on the wall, you know, the smarter and wiser you will be. And while it's certainly true that I guarantee you know lots and lots of things if you've been to school and you got a diploma, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily wise either. I mean, college, don't get me wrong, can be a beautiful thing. It can be transformative and great in a young person's life. But it can also be very damaging if you're not careful. The problem with education, though, is that it does not produce wisdom. I'm sure we all can think of one or two people in our lives who think they are very, very smart, but in reality, they got no life skills. They're a complete knucklehead. I was one of those people once. Maybe still am. The thing about wisdom and what makes it different than knowledge is you can know a lot of stuff, but you have to know how to apply it. Wisdom is applied knowledge. In order to be wise, you need to be able to know and understand how to apply the knowledge you have obtained. And not just any kind of knowledge, but biblical knowledge. Not to mention, I'm not trying to knock on graduating students. I'm sure you're going to have a great time in college. But be warned that if your school or institution you're going to is not a Bible-based university, well, you're going to run into potential problems there. Because if the school doesn't have biblical wisdom itself and is not teaching you biblical wisdom, well, then that environment can be very damaging to a young person's faith. If your school isn't going to give you wisdom, where are you going to get it from? We'll get into that. The final way I often see people try to obtain wisdom is by consuming media. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a good podcast. I love to listen to all sorts of people from all around the world. There's so much to consume. You can listen to experts from all sorts of fields from all around the world. They all have different religions, cultures, and they even come from all the continents. You can scroll for hours. They call it dead scrolling. You can watch YouTube reels over and over and over again. If you need travel tips, there's a van life vlog for that. If you want to learn some financial advice, there's a podcast for that. You want to know how to make sourdough bread? I think that's cool. You can watch a TikTok. I mean, there's so much you can learn on the internet. Politics is a pretty big one. I mean, what about politics? There's a lot of information out there about that. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can learn and experience on the internet. You can hear all sorts of different information. You can hear really whatever you're looking for from whatever side you want to hear from. Now, I've got an app on my phone. It's called ChatGPT. If you're unfamiliar, it's artificial intelligence. It's kind of like a web browser, but it claims it can think for itself. Now, we as a society, we have gotten so, so good, and we think we're so, so smart that we claim that we can now create our own intelligence, our own artificial intelligence. It's artificial, man-made. We can create, so we claim, our own understanding. Now, the problem with this is that, well, wisdom can be hard to get from just a web browser. The problem with getting wisdom from media is, number one, it's not from God. It's man-made. Number two, they're all saying different things. I mean, come on, you can hear whatever you want to hear at any time you want to hear it, when you want to hear it, how you want to hear it. With so many conflicting voices out there, it can be hard to determine what's true and what's untrue. And like I said, if it's not from God, if it's man-made, well, it's actually the opposite of wisdom. It's folly. How can you trust what's true and untrue when there's so much conflicting information out there? And like I said, I love a good podcast. I mean, almost every single podcast I've ever listened to never falls short. Even if you pay for ad-free, doesn't fall short. As soon as you're in the good part of the broadcast, there's an ad. Now, if you listen to radio, same deal. There's an ad like every 3 minutes. It's crazy. And I like the people, what they have to share. I like what they're saying. You know, I listen to them for lots of different things. And I trust them when they're talking about history and geography and the news and all that jazz. But do I trust them when they cut to an ad break and they start telling me that this type of dog food is the best in the business, or this pillow or this phone plan, I have to have it. You know, they tell me this certain product is the greatest. They try it, they love it, so they're promoting it. Well, how do I know if they really like it if they have financial incentive to say that? So I just, with all of those things, I just don't see media as a good way to get wisdom. Because there's so many different motivations. There's so many different people trying to pull you in every which direction that probably don't have your best interests in mind. If it's too good to be true, they're probably trying to sell you something too. With so many voices, so many different opinions, all the different facts and figures from every side, with all the different motivations, I just don't see how media could be a good place to get wisdom. And like I said, no matter where you get wisdom from, if it's not from God, it's not true wisdom. It's going to have some pretty prickly negative consequences too. The consequences, according to James, you know, he lists instability, confusion, distancing from God. You're a wave tossed by the sea. James, he gives a great word picture describing a man who doubts. He's like a wave tossed by the wind, going every direction. He's unstable and double-minded. He says this, James 1, 5 through 8 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Earthly wisdom will also make you and I unstable in all our ways. So we get that, right? And now there's one section of this verse that can often cause some confusion. What does James mean when he says no doubting? James says the man who doubts is unstable and won't receive anything from God. You may read that and say, whoa, I can't have any doubts at all, ever? That is really difficult. But that's not quite what James is saying here. What James is saying is that we cannot live in the doubt that Jesus is our Lord. In other words, we have to have faith that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, who came to seek and save the lost, who was raised from the dead to save us from our sins. You may have doubts about faith or the Bible from time to time. However, I'd encourage you to not live in that doubt. Another way to put it is you can't have one foot in the world living a worldly life doubting the sovereignty of God and one foot in the kingdom, kind of living sometimes like a believer, kind of following the Bible, kind of not. Because if you've got one foot here and one foot there, you're divided. And Jesus, he makes it pretty clear in Matthew 12:25. He says, "Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. No city or house divided against itself will stand.'" So, in our own mind, we have to be united by Christ, focused on biblical wisdom. And if not, we'll be divided and confused like a wave tossed to and fro by a chaotic ocean. We have to be firm in our faith that Jesus is Lord and his wisdom is sufficient. We have to trust that Jesus is the one true king and his word, the Bible, is complete, beautiful, and brings sanctification. When we don't trust Jesus and we doubt his ways, we are following earthly wisdom, which is folly. So what does following folly or earthly wisdom produce? Number one, chaos. James describes someone who doubts biblical wisdom as a wave tossed to and fro, right? And the one following the world and its advice, they live in instability. Their life is turned upside down again and again and again, and they're always searching for whatever's popular, and they're trying to just go with whatever's stable or whatever's, you know, popular in their day, flip-flopping to and fro. Their life will be turned upside down by chaotic trials they could have prevented or persevered through if they had simply followed and applied biblical wisdom to their life. So what else does biblical wisdom produce? Number two, confusion. With all that conflicting information we talked about, an individual following worldly wisdom can often be confused, not really knowing what to do next. They won't know how to thrive and prosper in the land that God has placed them in. They'll be double-minded, constantly changing their opinion, flip-flopping to whatever opinion is popular at the time. They'll follow their heart right off a cliff. Number three, trials. Sometimes in life, it's true, we're going to experience trials and tribulations no matter what because of reasons we'll not quite understand. However, oftentimes we may experience trials because we did not follow biblical wisdom. It may be because we ignored the predetermined biblical patterns God set up for us to follow in his word. So we know that we cannot find wisdom from earthly institutions, media, or life experience. We know earthly wisdom, it produces all sorts of problems, right? But we're not just stuck, not knowing what to do next. Of course, there's always hope when there's Jesus. And he blesses us with his instruction. It's true that we are in desperate need of lasting wisdom. So how is biblical wisdom from the world, how is it different from the world? And why is it so much better? Why is biblical wisdom so good? Well, biblical wisdom is so good because wisdom, it only comes from the Bible, and the Bible is beautiful, stable, and sufficient. Biblical wisdom is beautiful because it is better than any earthly possession. No object, no idea, no theory, no property, no proposition. Nothing is better than biblical wisdom other than salvation with Christ. Scripture says that biblical wisdom is more valuable than money, than power, and all that this earth has to offer us. You know, you may read about Solomon in the Old Testament, and God asked him, hey, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon, he asked for wisdom. And just like Solomon, it's only up to you to apply it. Proverbs 8:10-11 describes wisdom like this. It says, take my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than jewels. All that you may desire cannot compare with her. Similarly, again, Proverbs 3:13-15 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So why is biblical wisdom beautiful? Well, because nothing is as valuable as it, like I said, other than a relationship with Christ. I mean, wisdom, it's more valuable than rubies, than gold. Scripture holds wisdom in such a high regard, and I think you should too. It's more beautiful than gold, more precious than rubies. It's better than any earthly possession we could hold. And biblical wisdom, it's more than just, you know, a pretty thing to look at. It is stable. Biblical wisdom is stable because it never changes. Now, I don't keep up with a lot of trends, but, you know, I keep up with popular music. I try to stay engaged with the world around me. But you probably won't see me saying chicken jockey or whatever the latest trend is. I don't understand. But, you know, I try to stay fresh. Try to stay in the know. Sometimes people, though, they can become worn out by staying up to date. Sometimes, you know, trying to stay relevant can feel like you're trying to stay on a treadmill that never ends. Keeping with the times can be tiring and draining. You can kind of feel like you're on a treadmill that just never stops. You're always running. You're never cutting edge. You're always behind. Never enough. But biblical wisdom is so much better than that. Because it's not on that treadmill. It doesn't have to try to keep up with the times. It doesn't have to reinvent itself. Something beautiful about the Bible is that every page has been relevant and will be relevant throughout all time. It's not on a treadmill like us. It doesn't keep up with the trends or adapt to the latest fashion, which I believe lends to the credibility of the Bible. I think it's why so many people around the world have looked to Scripture time and time again for thousands of years. Why? Because it's a solid rock. What it said 2,000 years ago, it's still saying the same truth in the same way today. Biblical wisdom, it doesn't change based on how any government is acting, based on how anyone is feeling in the times. It doesn't try to, you know, reinvent itself. It's true over and over and over again. It's truth that is washing over us generation after generation. The most important reason that it's stable is because it's God-breathed. It's right from God's mouth. You can't get any closer to the source than the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, says all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Biblical wisdom is stable because our God, who is a firm foundation, is consistent throughout all times. What Jesus says in the Bible has been wise and is wise throughout all time. If you trust Jesus, you can trust his words too. Now, number three is that biblical wisdom is sufficient. Biblical wisdom comes from the Bible alone. You can't find it in the ways of the world. You can look all you want, but you'll come up short. The only way you can find biblical wisdom is in the Bible, because the Bible is sufficient. This is important for every believer to understand, because if the Bible wasn't good enough on its own, if we had to add to it or, you know, provide new interpretations or plug in new ideas, it wouldn't be wise. Because it would be from man. We know that since it comes directly from God, it's God-breathed, poured out, that it's true, wise, just, and fair. It's not reliant on any human mind or any human theory. It comes directly from God. Therefore, we can understand that where wisdom comes from is perfect and complete all by itself. Wisdom only comes from Jesus alone. Everything God wants us to know, he wrote in his perfect word for us. If we want to become wise and seek wisdom, we need to read his holy word. Every page of the Bible has depth, has truth, has life. All you have to do is pick it up, read it, and apply. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Jesus' wisdom is all we need in this life because it is the only wisdom that lasts forever. It's the only wisdom that lasts for eternity. We can trust God and know what he has given us is wonderful, whole, and complete. It may be hard to understand the Bible sometimes. There's a lot of, you know, things that we have to work through for sure. But it is so, so good. And two, Jesus, he's provided believers the Holy Spirit. If you believe and accept Jesus into your heart, you receive the Holy Spirit who helps you understand and illuminate scripture to you and helps you understand how you can have true biblical wisdom. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're not a believer, you're not going to fully be able to understand or grasp. No one can fully understand it, but you can't really understand biblical wisdom or scripture until you accept Christ into your heart. There's a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, and all the facts and things are great, but you have to apply the Bible to your own life. One reason obtaining biblical wisdom is so important is that biblical wisdom, it stabilizes us during trials and tribulations. The Bible is pretty clear. You know, the believer will indeed face trials of every kind here on this earth. My friend Matt Ott, he told us all about it last week. If you haven't been able to catch his sermon, you can get on the website. It's really good. Check it out. But he said this. He read James 1, 2 through 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Clearly, we are going to have some trials, right? Trials that produce steadfastness here on earth. However, the believer is blessed because biblical wisdom helps us prepare for trials, prevent some others, and helps us during the trials and tribulations we encounter here on earth. Let's unpack that a little bit. Biblical wisdom will help you prepare for the trials and storms in your life when you apply the biblical principles to your everyday living. There's so much wisdom in the Bible. It covers all sorts of topics. I mean, scripture, it'll tell you how to have a right relationship with Jesus. That's the most important. You know, it'll tell you how to have a healthy marriage, strong finances, all sorts of things for every aspect of your life, for everyday living. The Bible will help you in order so that you can face the challenges when they arrive. You know, a clear practical example is that the Bible has a lot of financial wisdom. There's a lot of good financial principles. One such is, you know, people should save money and not squander their resources. If you squander all that God gives you and you don't give back to him, well, it's kind of foolish. You know, you should save money. Proverbs 21:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will not be rich. So according to Proverbs, if you squander your money and your resources, you're probably not going to have any. Makes sense. But what about, you know, like more faith or church applications? You know, what about things that deal with your soul? Well, according to the Bible, biblical wisdom helps you prepare for all sorts of things. Biblical wisdom helps you prepare for trials in your life when you have an active prayer life. When you're actively praying each and every day, you're preparing your soul, kind of like a spiritual workout, for the things that are to come. James 5, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to him. Therefore, we have a clear understanding that we ought to, you know, to ask, and we should be actively praying every day for wisdom. When we pray, we are preparing our souls for a spiritual battle, training and obtaining wisdom so we can face whatever comes our way. Now, like I said, we're going to experience trials no matter what. However, some of the trials can be avoided if we apply the Lord's wisdom to our life. Biblical wisdom can help prevent some trials in your life. Whether you're a believer or not, God has laid out and declared in his word how each person ought to live. Practices they're supposed to avoid, you know, lifestyle choices that are unhealthy, things to stay away from. It's more than a book of do's and do nots. It's a beautiful book. However, some of those do's and do nots, they can be really helpful. Things God declared unholy in his word, we ought to stay away from. Things that God said are beautiful, chase after, go into depth in that. Well, we ought to run that way. You don't have to walk through life blind, constantly falling into traps, trying to seek out wisdom, trying to find out what's unholy and holy on your own. You can read his word. One such example of this is, you know, Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Clearly put, when folks have too much to drink, they're probably going to make some bad choices. So best not to do that, right? It's debauchery. And so biblical wisdom, it gives us verses like that so we can say, okay, I know that's a bad idea. I'm not going to do that. I can stay away from, you know, having too much to drink. Got it. But it's not just that. It's not just, you know, Ephesians 5:18. There's so much more than alcohol. Like I said, all throughout scripture, there's instruction for every aspect of your life that'll help you stay away from some areas and help you pursue the healthy ones. Like we read earlier, the Bible provides simple financial principles that can help prevent financial trials. We may still experience trials, but we can rest assured that God has not left us alone to figure it out for ourselves. He's given us his word to help us stay clear of destructive behaviors and pursue what's beautiful, healthy, and good. Biblical wisdom helps you during the trials of your life. You know, that's one of the most important aspects of today's message, is that biblical wisdom helps you during the trials and tribulations you're currently going through, will go through, and have gone through. Christ has not abandoned you out on some island to fend for yourself. He's not cast you out, but instead, he's walking through you, walking with you through the valley of the shadow of death so you can fear no evil. He's with you. He's not working against you. One way he does this is by encouraging you in his word. He's reminding you of biblical truths. I love how the NLT states Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Clearly, Jesus is walking with us, giving us wisdom and understanding during the trying times of our lives, refreshing our souls every step of the way. We know that biblical wisdom stabilizes the soul during all sorts of trials. We know God is working with us and working for us. We know biblical wisdom is stable, beautiful, and sufficient. We know that we just have to have it, right? Well, how exactly do we obtain it? How do we bring it into our grasp, into our possession? Well, if someone wants biblical wisdom, they need to ask, seek, and surrender. James is pretty clear. If you want wisdom, you got to ask God for it. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. How do you ask God? Through prayer. We need to spend time each and every day praying and asking the Lord for help. We need to be praying as individuals and families alike, asking God to give us guidance during the trying times. I love a good dinner prayer. You know, my nephew Brian, he loves to gather up the whole family, hold hands and pray. It's a very sweet moment each and every meal. But my encouragement to you is don't just pray at meals as a family. Gather in your living room, gather, you know, in a bedroom or wherever in your house and pray together then as well. Read the Bible together as a family. Walk in faith together as a family, asking God for his wisdom for yourself, for your kids, for your parents, for each and every member of your family. The wonderful thing is that we don't have to come up with this wisdom on our own. We can ask God for it. Our families aren't lost and trying to figure it out for themselves. All you got to do is ask. Number two, seek. We need to seek out biblical wisdom by reading scripture together as a family, carving out time for intentional, purposeful, intimate space to be alone with Jesus. My encouragement to you is that you read the Bible together as a family each night. Pick a chapter of the Bible, pick a book of the Bible, go through it, read it, dwell on it. But also, as an individual, you got to have quiet time with God. You got to be in active communication with Jesus each and every day. We have to be willing to prioritize vulnerable time in the Word if we want to obtain true wisdom. Now, some people might tell me, hey, I don't have a lot of time. I'm very busy. I got a lot going on. My kids are screaming. It's crazy. Well, I agree. Like, I know it's a lot going on in each and every one of your lives. I know we're all very busy with hard jobs and things going on. And I'm sorry that it's been rough for some people here. But we have to make time. We might have to say no to activities, or we might have to, you know, hold off on doing certain events in order that we can be together with Jesus. You might have to say no to activities you or your family have scheduled. You might have to sacrifice those in order that you can instead read the Bible together as a family. I'm not gonna lie, I have a hard time with this myself. Lauren and I, we can tell you right now, we gotta cancel Paramount Plus because it's bad. I mean, we are very, very addicted. But I need to put down the TV remote. I need to put down my phone and stop scrolling and start reading. Because I need to be intentional and make a plan for how I am going to seek Jesus' wisdom through His Word. Plainly put, we have to seek wisdom through reading and praying every day. Number three, surrender. If we want to have true, wholehearted biblical wisdom, then we will need to surrender at the feet of Jesus. I sometimes have a hard time staying focused. I get caught up listening to music while I'm driving and singing along, great tune, having a great time, and then whoop, I miss my turn. And now, all of a sudden, I'm like 15 minutes behind, and the GPS is rerouting me, and Abel's crying in the back, and it's very bad, I'm freaking out, and Lauren gently reminds me, hey, darling, you missed your turn. Sorry. We gotta, you know, turn around. And I don't like that. I really don't like that, because I don't like to be wrong. If I missed my turn, well, it's clearly because the GPS didn't know, or I meant to do that, or whatever. Because I don't like to admit that, oh yeah, I missed the turn. I made a mistake. I was wrong. However, even though I don't like to be wrong, I know that Lauren is loving and forgiving, and she's there gently reminding me, hey, it's time to turn around. I really have a problem with that sometimes, because my own pride blinds my eyes to the reality of my own situation. Likewise, sometimes in life, we'll make a bad decision and claim, well, I meant to do that all along. That was the right choice, because our pride blinds our eyes. But Christ is there telling us, Aaron, it's time to turn around. It's time to surrender at the feet of Jesus. But I don't want to, Lord. I like going my own way. I like driving. I like being in control. I like being able to be the one who says where we're going, when we're doing it, how it's going to be. But surrendering to Jesus means knowing that, Lord, your way is better than mine. Surrendering to Jesus is recognizing that I may know a lot, but He knows so much more. And I need to be like a child and come to the feet of Jesus. You got Mary and Martha. Martha was distracted. Mary was at the feet of Jesus in surrender. Too often, my pride gets in my way, and I like to say, I'm right, Lord. Make this happen because it's what I want. I like to think that I'm wise and that I know. But biblical wisdom, to get it, you got to surrender. And you have to lay down your pride and say, you know what, Jesus, I made a lot of mistakes and I'm sorry. I repent, Lord. But it doesn't end there. He accepts you and loves you. If we truly want a right relationship with Jesus, we need to surrender to him. We need to submit our lives and actions to him, even when we don't understand, Lord, why are you putting me through this trial? What are we doing? Why are we here? I don't know what's going on. But if we want true wisdom, we have to surrender our own pride and say, Lord, your ways are better than mine. In Christ alone, we have wisdom. I can't find it on my own. I can't keep driving and driving and driving. I have to turn around and recognize that, Lord, you know. If I want to obtain wisdom, I have to recognize that the only way to get wisdom is by surrendering to Christ alone. We can't keep doubting the sovereignty of the Lord and his kingship. We have to have faith in Christ. We have to have faith that Jesus is Lord and Savior over all creation. We have to surrender our doubts, our fears, and our tears to Jesus. We have to say, Lord Jesus, help my unbelief. Because the only way to surrender to Jesus is by looking to him through repentance and saying, Lord, you are so much better than I. Jesus doesn't leave us lost and on the floor. He brings restoration to my heart so my heart and mind can be made anew. If I want wisdom, I need to surrender to Jesus and recognize that he knows more than I could ever. I have to surrender in all things to the one true King. If I want wisdom, I need to surrender to the one who is more than able to do all that I could ever ask or imagine. I need to surrender to Christ, my Lord. We cannot depend on wisdom from the world that brings sharp, prickly consequences. We need wisdom that is beautiful, stable, and sufficient. This wisdom only comes from Jesus and his complete word he spoke in Scripture. We have to apply the Bible to our lives to fully have wisdom. We have to surrender our doubts, and we need to trust that Jesus is the only way to salvation. We have to trust that his wisdom is true, beautiful, safe, and strong. If I want biblical wisdom, I need to ask Jesus through prayer. I need to seek out wisdom through reading and applying his holy word each and every day. Most importantly, if I want wisdom and if I want a right relationship with Christ, I need to surrender my pride at the feet of Jesus. I have to recognize that the Lord's way is so much better than mine. My only hope to obtain wisdom is through Christ alone. We're going to go into a time of response. We have communion stations up here, two beside me, gluten-free's over there, and we have one in the back, or two in the back as well. I want you to take this time to dwell on the biblical truths that are in God's word. I want you to dwell on the fact that you right now need to surrender to Christ Jesus. He came to seek and save the lost. If we want wisdom, if we don't want to be lost in darkness anymore, we have to come to our Lord. So during this time of response, take time to pray as a family, to ask God for wisdom, to help you through the trials of your life, and surrender at the feet of Jesus.